Next, we're going to Scandinavia now, and we'll focus on Sweden, who've recently joined NATO. And there's been recent political scandal involving a smear campaign by the right-leaning Sweden Democrats. I'm joined now on the line by freelance journalist Philip O'Connor. Philip, straight to NATO, joining in March, dropping the long-standing commitment to neutrality, joining the alliance in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago. Is that coming up much now as a campaign theme in the European elections in Sweden?
To be honest, I've barely heard a word about it during this particular EU campaign. Sweden, as you said there, they joined NATO as a full member on March 7th, and it's barely been mentioned ever since. There's the odd mention of, oh, you know, the coming budgets will have to be increased for defence and so on, but it's really a non-issue so far in the upcoming European Parliament elections.
And what is the perception of that alliance, Article 5, that Sweden has now signed up to, you know, obliging them and all members to come to each other's defence? Is it coming up when it comes to even budget, their alliance, their allegiances now to other European countries?
Yeah, it's one of those things that Sweden is a consensus society. So when things happen here, basically they try to get everybody on board as quickly as possible. So when we saw the COVID pandemic that happened here, for instance, the Swedish people very much fell in line behind what the government was trying to do. As we know, they didn't approach it in the same way as maybe Ireland or as other European countries. They decided not to go with lockdowns. And there was strong public support. There's always strong public support for what the government tries to do here in times of crisis. The same thing with NATO. Once it was decided by the then social democratic minority government, they were in coalition with the Green Party, they were going to join NATO. That was pretty much it. There was no huge discussion, no huge debate. The idea of Russia invading Ukraine as they did at the time there, that really focused the mind on the security situation here in the Nordic and Baltic region. And once that was done then, it just becomes a fact of everyday life, much as the pandemic did. So while there are discussions around budget and what that is going to mean for the Swedish armed forces and their commitments to go and defend other NATO members and other European nations, it's really sort of off the agenda. It's just now something that has to be done.
Zoom back out for us, Philip O'Connor, then, when it comes to the political spectrum going into this election, the type of candidates running.
Yeah, I was just looking through the list of candidates there on you, and there's hundreds of candidates. I counted, let me say, I don't know how many parties. I think there was around more than 100 different parties. Now, some of them are joke parties. There's one called the Evil Chicken Party and the Donald Duck Party. But basically, from the left of the far left all the way to the far right, the entire political spectrum is represented. So you would have Vänsterpartiet, the left party. They would have the roots in the communist movement here in Sweden. The Social Democrats, who would be a traditional union-led, like the Labour Party in Ireland or Great Britain. Then you have the Centre Party, who would represent usually very much an agricultural vote there. You would have the Liberal Party, there would be classical sort of Edmund Burke Liberals. And then as you move further towards the right, you get the moderates, who would be very much like the British Conservative Party. And then on the far right, with their roots in neo-Nazism, you have the Sweden Democrats. Now, the government at the moment basically exists as a confidence and supply arrangement. It's a right-wing government supported by those Sweden Democrats. And it's very much a case of that Sweden Democrat sort of far-right party wagging the rest of the parliamentary dog. So Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson and his various coalition partners, while the Sweden Democrats aren't in cabinet, they're very much deciding how this country is being run at the moment.
Tell us about Ulf Kristersson and the current makeup of the Swedish government and where it fits. It sits to the right, but how far right do you think political sentiment could go in Sweden in this election?
Do you know, it's almost hard to put a boundary on it. When I moved here in 1999, that was still, you know, you still had the living memory of the former Social Democrat Prime Minister Olof Palme, who became a celebrity around the world for his opposition to the Vietnam War. And of course, he was murdered here in the centre of Stockholm. And my office is about 10 minutes from where his graveyard. And I often wonder what he would think of the Swedish government that's in power now, because it is very, very, very much to the right. And when you look at the election posters from the centre-right and the right-wing parties, they all feature the Swedish word Grenze, which is borders. And that's something that, you know, it's remarkable to see that they're all sort of singing from the same hymn sheet at this point in time. Now, what the entire political spectrum has done on you is that in 2002, I think that was the first election I covered in this country, and the Sweden Democrats were a laughing stock. They were skinheads in bomber jackets doing Nazi salutes a couple of times a year on anniversaries they would want to mark, right? You have to have over 4% of the vote in a general election to get into the parliament here. So that stops you having sort of independent candidates and smaller parties. But But since that time, they doubled their vote every election for several elections until they actually got into the parliament. And now they're pretty much the second biggest party in the country. So they have really taken over. And what the other parties have done, including the parties on the left, including the Social Democrats, is that that has shifted absolutely everything to the right. So the moderate party, who would have been pretty right-wing to begin with, we've seen the same thing happen to the Conservatives in the UK. When you see UKIP, when you see Brexit, they sort of followed them to the right. Everything has shifted to the right here. And to be honest, there doesn't seem to be any limit for where this is going to go, because the Sweden Democrats are making hay while the sun shines. They have a perfect position. In Ireland, of course, we're very familiar with minority parties and coalitions getting an absolute kicking at the following general election, because they go in there, they support government, but they can't get their policies through. The Sweden Democrats are in a perfect position now, being hurlers on the ditch. They're kind of like I've become in my old age here, you know, being in the GAA club and saying, oh, everything was better when we were younger, kind of thing. But you don't have to be held to account for that. So at the moment, they're very much in pole position in politics here.
They're also, though, in spot of bother over a TV investigation that was looking into an online smear campaign and the use of anonymous social media accounts to troll, discredit rivals. What's come about in front of that investigation? What's going to happen next?
Absolutely nothing, okay? Because this government is in power because the Sweden Democrats vote for them. Ulf Kristersson knows that. He's the weakest prime minister I've ever seen anywhere in Scandinavia, and I've been living here for 25 years now. He's absolutely hopeless. He has no character. He's nothing whatsoever. He will go after whatever keeps him in power. It's that simple. He's put there basically by lobby organisations, because Sweden has gone from being Palme's social democratic paradise to being sort of, you know, this sort of neoliberal paradise now, where the school system here, you and I could open a school for profit in the morning. The fact that you and I are journalists and have never done anything to do with schools doesn't matter whatsoever. We can open a limited company and start taking in students from August. It's that simple. And that's who he is there to protect. And in order to do that, he has to do whatever Jimmie Åkesson, who is the leader of the Sweden Democrats, whatever he says. And that, so, you know, when the Social Democrats were found to have created what they called the troll factory, and they were creating Twitter accounts and they were putting out videos and they were basically attacking the government that they're supporting, and attacking the characters in that government, and sort of, you know, letting loose a whole bunch of sort of, you know, online abuse towards them. And that was discovered. But, you know, if Ulf Kristersson does anything whatsoever, the Sweden Democrats, as far as I know, haven't even deleted any of those accounts. And they certainly haven't deleted some of the more offensive things that they've said about their, you know, the coalition that they support. So I would see absolutely nothing happening. And it's the Social Democrats have now started calling Ulf Kristersson the most spineless prime minister in Swedish history. And it's hard to see that they're wrong there.
And we do know that he did say this week that he condemned the use of social media troll accounts, and he said they were a dangerous political tactic, just to give his side of things there. But thank you for taking us through Swedish politics. Freelance journalist Philip O'Connor, thank you for joining us.